Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, April 1st, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Elise Blackerby. Elise and her husband Vince are members of Mountain Brook Baptist, and Vince is our Director of Operations here at the church. Thank you, Elise, for joining the podcast.
Hi, Mary. Thank you so much for having me here today. It's just a real honor that you called to see if I would read today for Project 119. The readings today are beginning in Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22, Psalm 100, and Romans 2, verses 1 through 16. Okay, we'll begin in Exodus, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Exodus 13, beginning in verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Now we'll move over to the Psalms. This is Psalm 100, which is one of my favorites, and I'm reading from the King James Version because that's how I remember this psalm as a child. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And now we'll move to the New Testament. We're in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
Thank you so much, Elise, for joining the podcast. We want to hear a little bit about you. Tell me about growing up and your family.
Okay, Mary, thanks for asking. I grew up in Bessemer, Alabama, which in the 60s was much smaller than it is today. It was actually like a little bit like Mayberry, kind of growing up then in the 60s and all. But Vince and I actually grew up a block from each other. He's a couple years ahead of me. And so when we were growing up, I didn't really know him very well, because back then several years was, you know, just a really long span. And his first cousin was my best friend. So anyway, we both grew up in Bessemer, Alabama. I have one brother, and he lives in Birmingham now. I grew up in the Presbyterian Church. And the funny thing about it is, on Sundays, and I always remember this, on Sundays, the Bright Star was like a place where you would go to eat lunch. And so the Presbyterian Church was a block from the Bright Star. The Baptist Church was three blocks from the Bright Star. And the Methodist Church was really far. It was over the railroad tracks. So since the Baptists always went longer than we did, we always got to the Bright Star before anyone else. And it's funny what you remember. But that's one of the things I remember from growing up. Also, there were so many wonderful friends that I had growing up that I really do stay in touch with today.
Well, you mentioned Vince was older than you. How did you guys meet?
Well, you know, growing up back then, you always knew who the person was. But it was actually when we were in college that we started spending time together and started dating. We were both involved in a Sunday night group during the summer at the First Baptist Church in Bessemer, which was actually neither one of our churches, but it had the best Sunday night things going on. And so we were both part of a group that went to Disney World in the summer on a trip, and I think it was a choir trip. And so we were thrown together. We had the best time. And so that ended up to be the favorite vacation of my life. And so Vince and I started dating right after that.
Tell me a little bit about your career.
I was in education for a long time. I taught school for many years. I taught fifth grade the most. And I also taught third grade. I taught second grade for 2 years. And then when I first got out of college, I taught a learning disabilities class for 6 years right before Ben was born. And then the last few years, 10, the last few years of my career, I was in administration. I was curriculum director at Highlands Day School. It was interesting because when I left Mountain Brook, I was actually looking for a part-time job, and it turned into way more than a part-time job. But it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. And now I have moved on, and I have a lot more time.
So you've retired from teaching?
I have retired from teaching. I'm still doing some consulting work here and there. I'm working with a school in Woodlawn on some things, and then I have done some work with a couple of other schools as well. But it's definitely on your own time, at home, when and if you want it.
I want to hear a little bit about your coming to faith.
You know, Mary, for me, there was never an event or anything like that. I grew up going to church, grew up doing, you know, I guess the right things, as you might say, as far as trying my best to stay out of trouble. And so the older I got, there was never a time when I didn't go to church. But I think that as far as truly coming to faith, it really got stronger and stronger first after my children were born. And then again, when my parents got sick, I came to have to deal with some things that I realized that I, as a fixer by nature, could not really fix. And so I realized at that point that I couldn't depend on myself, that I really had to depend on God. And so that was a huge jump for me. And then I would say again, maybe in the past 5 or 6 years, I've become stronger and stronger in my faith as the time has passed.
Tell me how you and Vince got to Mountain Brook Baptist Church.
Okay. Well, we got married in December of 1978. And so at that point, we knew immediately that we first thing we wanted to do was find a church. And so we wanted to find something that was fairly similar to what both of us had grown up with and everything. We visited a lot of different churches, and we came to Mountain Brook Baptist, I think, because we felt so at home. It had similarities to both of our churches. And then the people here were just so wonderful to us. Dr. Nelson was the minister when we joined, and he was just such a delight. I wish all of you could have known him. He was a wonderful, wonderful person. He was a wonderful minister. And the great thing is you get to hear his voice every Christmas during the Nativity.
And so then once you joined the church, you had two kids that have grown up at Mountain Brook Baptist. Tell me a little bit about your children.
Okay, I have Ben, who is now 37, which is just so hard to believe that I have a child that old because I'm not much older than that myself. And then my baby, Joya, just had her 30th birthday. They both grew up here in the church and have so many absolutely amazing, amazing memories. Ben was sort of the church kid when he was little. Miss Mary, who has passed away but used to work here at the church, kept Ben for me when I went back to work, when I went back to teaching school. And at the time, Mary was also running the Mom's Day Out. And so Ben would come with Mary to the Mom's Day Out. And so since she had to come a little early and stay a little late, Ben was sort of the church kid and, you know, ran around all over the place and everything. But he felt very comfortable in any corner of this church. Joya was born in the church, and she also was here so much when she was little. And I have to say that for Joya, the youth played a huge, huge part in her life.
I know that you're in a growth group and you're doing a Jen Wilkin Bible study. One of the things that she asks at the end of each week is to kind of recap one of the characteristics of God so that you can be informed by that. What are some of your favorite characteristics that you've seen throughout your study?
You know, that has been a great part of the Jen Wilkin study. Because at the end of the little study booklet, she has a couple of pages that list all these attributes of God. And then, like Mary said, we, you know, think about which ones were most apparent during the lesson for the time. And it's interesting because throughout all of the lessons, there are four that have kind of kept, that have kept coming up for me: faithful, merciful, refuge, and omniscient. And so that those four just appear in everything. And since I've been able to be part of that study, I've begun to notice things like that in other readings throughout the Bible that I have been able to do.
Speaking of the characteristics of God, I want to segue to the scripture that you read today. Is there anything from the scripture that stood out to you that you would comment on?
Yes, I was just amazed that Psalm 100 was the reading that was part of what we were doing today and all. The psalm, which is, you know, a praise psalm, reminds me of the doxology, which we sing here at our church as a praise and a thank you, you know, usually around the time for the tithes and offerings. And then it also reminds me of the Gloria Patri, the glory be to the Father, which we always sang at the end of the service in the church where I grew up. So I was just so thankful that Psalm 100 was part of what I was able to be part of today.
Elise, we are so grateful that you've spent this time with us. Would you end our podcast today with prayer?
I'll be happy to do that. Dear God, we praise you today with our hearts and songs. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your great power and love. We confess our need for you. Our lives don't go so well when we just spin around on our own. We struggle and worry, get weary and worn, yet you never leave us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your care over us. Thank you that you breathe renewal right into our souls. We ask for your Spirit to fill us, to draw us close to yourself, and to work your purposes through us as we set our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen.